Amen. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Well, I am glad that you're here, and I know that God has something special for you, especially you moms. Lord really has put a word on my heart for you, and I know that God is going to bless your life. You see, I have a wonderful mom. I called her this morning, and we talked to her for a while, and before I hung up, I said, Mama, you know, a guy couldn't ask for a better mom than you. And she, instead of saying, well, thank you, sweetheart, I love you, and she goes, well, you know, well, you thank God. Because if there's anything good in me, it's come from him. And that's the kind of mom I have, and mom and dad are my heroes, so I thank God for them. Thank God for moms. They're awesome. Man, come on, y'all. What is up with that? I mean, oh, never mind. Woo, don't get me going. When I was pastoring a church north of Kansas City, I had a friend of mine who was also a pastor, and in between churches, he asked, he said, can I come and hang out with you? And I was looking for you, sweetheart. There's my beautiful lady right there. How are you? Man, it's here. That is a great mom. Why don't you stand up, babe, so they can see you. Woo! Joe, sit down. It's not your day. But, you know, as we were in Kansas, we were north of Kansas City, he said, can I come and hang out with you? We went between churches, and he said, I just want to kind of come and hang out with you. And he said, would you mind for a couple of months just hanging out with you? And I said, no, man, Kenny, come on by. Not this Kenny, but another Kenny, and just come on by, and we'll hang out together, and maybe could preach a couple of times. Well, his first service he happened to come to our church was on Mother's Day, and I was preaching, and I opened up with this line. Now, be easy now. I said, some of the greatest times I've ever spent were in the arms of another man's wife. And they all looked at me like y'all are looking at me. My mother. Oh, Lord, I pray right now. Touch their minds, Jesus. So my friend Kenny said, man, now that was awesome. I like that. Man, he said, do you mind if I use it? I said, no, go right ahead. I read that on the bathroom wall and thought I'd use it. It's not my gift. So he went on and he pastored his church, and later on, sometime later we met, and actually his wife came up to me and was telling me a story, and in the middle, she really couldn't tell me because she was laughing so much, tears running down her eyes, and I said, what happened? And he said, well, Kenny on Mother's Day wanted to use the same thing you did, and thing about Kenny, he gets nervous, like the way y'all were looking at me, that don't bother me at all, but with him, he would get nervous, all right? And so he said, some of the greatest times I've ever spent were in the arms of another man's wife. And they all started looking at him. And he got nervous. And he froze. And he goes, and for the life of me, I can't remember who that is. Mother's Day. Special day. You know, I know that a lot of times we don't, you know, necessarily just preach on like a Mother's Day. We kind of go on with a series, but today, I want to preach to you moms. I really feel that God has given me a word for moms. And I want to encourage you, no matter what situation you're in or where your children are at right now, God is going to change their lives. God is going to bring them home. All right? Now, I want you to just kind of buckle your seatbelt, and we're going to go for a ride. Some things you may like, some things you may not. Don't throw anything at me, all right? Because security is here, and they'll take you down. Yeah, look at Russ back there. He's flexing. He said he hadn't taken anyone down in a long time, so he's ready. Title of the message is this, if you're taking notes. Never, I should have put this like this, never, ever, never, ever, never bet against a praying mother. You don't want to do that. There's actually a couple people in here believe that. First service, I was wondering if anybody prayed. Just joshing. See, I can, you know. It's on tape. They can get it. I'm not running for election. Never, ever, 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 never bet against a praying mom. As a theme, I want you to have in your mind this. Time and circumstances are nothing to God. So, mama, you keep on praying. Mama, keep on praying. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for who you are. I pray for every mom that is here. I pray, God, that they would be encouraged today. Lord, I know that we all come from different backgrounds and we all have, our children are all in different areas. But I pray, God, that you would encourage mom today to not give up, to not let go. And God, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read this story about a man named Moses. Now, for those of you who don't know, Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. These are the guys that are written in there by faith. So-and-so did this. By faith, Abraham did this. And you know, it goes down the list of all the people of great faith. And so all the who's who amongst American, or American, Bible. That's, my brother was an American high school student. I hated him. So I had to throw it in there. All the hall of faith type of guys and gals are in this thing. All right? They're in this thing. The great ones. All right? So this is where we're going, to the hall of faith. And it says, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to share an ill treatment with the people of God than enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. How do you get to that place? How many of you moms would love to have that kind of story with your children? Well, there's three of you. But, you know, how many of you would like your children one day? I know, you know what? I know why some of you aren't clapping, because you know where your children are at right now. But you're the one I want to talk to. But we would all love for our children to grow up and be in this. You know, right now that my mom and dad, they've grown up. They had six boys, or five boys and one daughter. And we're all serving the Lord. We're all in ministry somehow. Our children will all follow the things of God. Are we perfect? Just me. Just joshing. But we're not perfect. We had a mom and dad that knew how to pray. But we had a great grandma. We had a grandma. My great grandma, she knew how to pray. There's something about a praying mom. And so we read the story about this guy, and we would all like that kind of story. But it would be awesome if every one of our children would grow up to have the same testimony. But right now, let's get real. All right, you know. You guys came to church. We're going to go into a living room, and I'm just going to talk to you. All right? We're going to take off that religious garb that you brought in with you, and we're just going to be real right now. Okay? So just kind of put that aside. All right? Right now, some of our children are away from God. Some of our children right now, they're in church with you. Some of them. Right now, some of them are living in sin. And mom, you hate it. Some right now of our children, they're addicted to drugs or alcohol. And every paycheck that they make is wasted on that addiction. And we watch and we see some of our children, and they're wasting away to nothing right before our eyes. And so when we see something like the story of Moses, we're like, there's no hope for my children. There's no way. Right now, in our time, some of our children are in gangs, doing things to others that, man, we just wish that they wouldn't do. Now, I know that some of y'all are going to say amen because you think that by not saying amen, I'm not going to agree with that because I just... That's where they're at. They're in prison. And we would all like to have the story that this man has. And there's some of you here today, Mom. You don't even know where your children are at. That's real. That's the real. I mean, you know, I could come and preach a nice little sermon and just spank you along the way and say, woohoo, get you all excited. But that, I want you to think about what is real. Because so much in this world we go through watching television and doing all different things, and it's all a facade, and we don't even think about it. As long as I don't think about it, it's not there. As long as, you know, I'll just keep on coming to church, doing my thing, and you know, I'll just keep walking the way I'm going. But I don't, you know, we don't even think about our kids because we've given up. But some of them, we don't even know where they're at. How did Moses get to the place of being in the hall of faith? You know, we all read the story and we wonder, how did he get to this place? Here's this great man. And you know what? Sometimes we read the Bible. I don't know if it's because of the attention deficit disorder that I have. Squirrel. No. I don't know if it's because of that. But I read the Bible totally different. All right. If I start reading something, all of a sudden I'm right there. I'm watching everything that's going on. I'm even participating sometimes. All right? It's okay if you talk to yourself. It really is. It's okay if you answer yourself. But when you say, huh, you've got problems. But I get so involved in the scriptures. I'm sitting there and I'm reading and I'm watching this thing take place in front of me. And this last couple of weeks, man, I have just been into the scripture. My father and I were talking about some things, and man, I jumped in here and I was just like, wow, this is, you know, man, this is amazing. Because you all read the scripture from this side of the story, from the Hebrew side. Some of you know the story of Moses because you watched the Ten Commandments, and that's about as much as you know. All right, so we read it from the hero side. But what about the other side? What about the side that we read all this, of the everything that builds up to his life? We read in the scriptures, we'll read in Exodus chapter 1. For the sake of time, I'm not going to go, we won't read every scripture, but go take Exodus 1 and chapter 2 and read about this man's life. In Exodus chapter 1, you read the story about a man that had just passed away. His name was Joseph. A great hero of the faith. The reason why they were all in Egypt at the time, and they were prosperous, they were growing, they were a great nation. They're growing not only in finances, but they're growing in numbers. And the Bible says that all of a sudden in verse 8, that there is a king or one of the, you know, the pharaohs that grew up that did not know Joseph. Didn't know that he was a hero. All he knows now is that this nation of Israel is getting big. And they're starting to take over the land. They're starting to become wealthy. And he thinks in his head, hey, listen, if we don't do something about this, we are going to become their servants. So let's do something about it. And all of a sudden we read in that first chapter that they begin to make servants or slaves out of God's people. And they become hard taskmasters over them. So that's how this story is opening up. And then so from there, he says, look, they're still growing. The more we put pressure on them, the bigger they get. So he talked to the midwives, those that delivered the children. He said, look, when the children are born, if it's a boy, kill it. If it's a girl, let it live so it can serve. This guy was serious about this. And so we know the story. The midwives listen to God rather than listen to the king. And they go and they preserve every child. And the Bible says that they continue to grow. The king gets mad, da-da-da-da. And then all of a sudden he says, this didn't work. My plan didn't work, so this is what we're going to do. And this is where we find the beginning of this story of a man named Moses. Is that the king sends out an edict saying, we're going to kill every boy. Any boy that is born to this nation, we will kill them. And there's a great outcry among God's people. However, there's one lady that chooses to preserve her child. Now, this is where we pick up this story, because you have to understand, we read it from the hero's side. But ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, there's chaos going on in his world. He's not even supposed to be alive. There's an edict from the highest command of the land. No boy is to live. That's where this whole story starts from. In chaos. Moms and dads, our children, they're living in a time of chaos. There's a lot of things that are going on. If there's a time that would be, and we talk about it among ourselves, man, if there's ever a time that we're glad we're not teenagers or in middle school, is today, because there's a lot of crazy things that are going on in our world. It has gotten horrible. You know, and if you sit there like a bump on a pickle thinking everything's all right, you're mistaken. And there's chaos going on in his world. And we look at this and we say, oh, well, hooray for this man of God. But we don't know his birth in the very beginning. The world is upside down. And could you imagine a mother saying, now I have to give him up because he's a boy. But the Bible says that she holds him close and she realizes this boy has value. The scripture says that she recognizes that there's a touch of God on his life. And so she preserves him in the middle of chaos. Moms and dads, we as the church, there's a lot of things that are going on in our world that are chaotic. And sometimes we just sit back and say, oh, just we don't say anything to our children. We just let it go. Little Johnny or little Mary will get over it. That has been the problem. That's the difference between a praying mom and a real mom. You know, I said this in the first service, you know, I'm neither black nor white. I'm brown. I feel right in the middle, all right? And it's funny because right now in our land, we have the highest voice has said it's okay for Adam and Eve, you know, no longer Adam and Eve, but Adam and Steve and Eve and Genevieve to go ahead and marry. Chaos. And so, I know... Like I said, we left everything at the door. I know some of us voted on him because he was black. But you know what? Some of y'all voted and said, you know, let's go to the white church. Some of them said, I voted for his white side. We voted for him, right? The highest voice in the land. Now we have to make a choice. Will we follow the decree of the Word of God like she did, Mom? Will we listen to the King, or will we listen to the King of Kings? Now, I know. All four of you, thank you very much. But the rest of us, that's the real world. And this is where this guy, his world is chaotic. And in our world that is chaotic, would there be a mom that is willing to get on her knees and say, God, I know there's worth in my child. I know I don't even know where they're at. But God, right now, touch their lives. Don't bet against a praying mother. So in the middle of all this chaos, this guy is born. And you know the story. They get him and they weave a basket. And then when they can't keep him more, they let him go down the Nile. And all of a sudden, guess who gets him? Pharaoh's daughter. And you know the stories that go find an Egyptian or go find an Israelite that'll help nurse this child. And guess who they go after? Jochebed. Mama. So she had him for a period. Maybe they think somewhere between a year and a half to 2 years before he was weaned and went back into the palace. I'm sitting there and I'm watching her. And I see her rocking Moses and said, Moses, as she's feeding him, as she's burping him, as she's saying, Moses, I only have a short time with you, but I want you to know that there was this man named Abraham. that had a promise from God. He is God Almighty. And then she went on to talk about Isaac. And then she went on to talk about Jacob. And then she went on to talk about the promise that God gave to Joseph, that one day there would be a deliverer. And you know what, Moses? Somehow, every time I say something about a deliverer, I sense the anointing on my... Moses, I want you to know that there's a God in heaven. 1.5 to 2 years, she poured the things of God in his life. In the time that we're living, we don't have a whole lot of time with our children. We need to tell them about the things. Not vacillate between the world. We need to tell them about God. I said this in the first service. What one generation tolerates, the next generation just embraces it. Crazy. And that's the life. You know, we all like the Hebrews guy. Woohoo! In Hebrews, man of faith. But man, this is chaotic. Now, we get real, we're here, and like I said, I'm watching this whole story, you know, unfold, and all of a sudden I'm watching. Most of you don't even realize this, that she, you just read and go on, but I'm sitting there and I'm watching Mom. Uh-huh. And I'm watching Mom as she realizes, as the tears come down her eyes, because for the second time, she's got to let her boy go. She brings him in, and she brings him to the... lady, the Pharaoh's daughter, and says, here he is. And I imagine that she's smiling. But as she walks home, the tears run down her eyes because she's only human. She's only human. And I think that I can see in her mind as she's walking, I'm walking alongside of her, and she's saying these words, man, he's going to a bigger house. It's a lot nicer than what we have. He's going to where they're a lot smarter than we are. Their camels are a lot faster than ours. They got the bigger screen TV. They have it made while we have to be as slaves. And in her mind, all those things are just saying one word: will he forget me? Will he forget the things of God? Oh, it's a whole different story. And Mom, some of you find yourself there. You wonder, when you send your children off to school, will they forget who I am? Will they forget the things of God? We send them off to college and we wonder, man, will they let go? I know my mom and dad, they said, I wonder what's going to happen to my boys. But right now, on this Sunday, my brothers are in their church preaching or ministering somehow, because we had a mom, we had a dad that knew how to pray and say, God, there's some worth in these children. God, I pray you protect and you watch over them. Something happens when you pray. Don't ever bet against a praying mother. Chaos in his world. Chaos in Mom's world. As she walks away saying, man, I cannot believe this. Again, giving him up. Some of you ladies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had to give up your children. And you wonder. Listen, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to lift you up, because your Moses is coming home. And he's not coming home a drug addict. He's coming home a deliverer. My God, some of you ladies have been crying out to God and you just wonder, where is he at? Some of you, you've read in the newspaper just like Jochebed did. She's looking at the local newspaper and says, man, Moses accused of murder, killed someone. And she's like, oh my God, my boy, I cannot believe that he's killed someone. Hello? I can't believe what is going to happen to my boy. I cannot believe. Listen, we sit back and we watch. We like the Hebrews. But what about the mom that is sitting there saying, man, I wonder what has happened to my child. For all the moms that you have somebody in jail and you're sitting there saying, oh, I don't know how. Listen, God is able. Satan said, I beat you. But I got news for him. Don't bet against a praying mom. She read about him and said, oh man, I can't believe my son did this. And all of a sudden, to make things worse, he disappears. Goes to the backside of the desert. No idea where he's at. See, you read the Bible and you think it's like, you know, go back. You've already read the story. You know exactly how the outcome. But the mom is sitting there wondering, where's my boy? Where's this boy that I held so dear to my heart? And wondering, God, I know you have destiny for him. That's the real part of the story. A mom that is sinner saying, oh, we forget about poor mom back home saying, oh, where is Moses? As she looks up to the sky and says, oh, God, I knew there was promise in my boy. I knew there was hope in my boy. God, he's killed someone. God, now he's gone. I don't even know where he's at. But God, I thank you that I still know that you're God of Abraham. There's the covenant that you've made with your people. And God, I know that my son has destiny. And she never stopped praying for her son. And I really believe that she began to pray and say, oh God, wherever he is at right now, let him have an encounter with you. And I believe that at the same time, Moses is walking and she's saying, God, whatever, arrest his spirit. God, if you have to send fire from heaven, and all of a sudden there's a bush that's burning. And Moses is like, what is that? Mama's on the other side saying, God, I can't let him go. Remember what we said in the beginning? Circumstances, problems, they're nothing for God. Mama, keep on praying. That's what we need to do. Just keep on praying. We see that all of a sudden that Moses comes back and he's not coming back broken. She remembers him running for his life. A murderer. But she also knows he has destiny. So when Moses comes back, he doesn't come back a drug addict. He doesn't come back a criminal. He doesn't come back a prisoner. He's coming back anointed, the deliverer. And let me tell you something, Mom. When I was in the back and I was praying, I really sense some of you, your children are going to come back. They are known as somebody who's been in prison. They are known as somebody who's been addicted to this. They've been known as this, but they're going to come back the deliverer. They're the ones God is going to use to deliver your families that have been captive, have been enslaved. And why? Because you've never given up. You've been on your knees praying, saying, God, whatever it takes, draw him back to you. Mama, don't give up praying. Don't stop praying. So what do we do when we come to our life and we haven't seen the end result? Mom, you can't let go. God answers your prayer. I'm going to ask Jason to come to the piano. You know, it's amazing how God works some things. The other day I was sitting in the office and I said, you know, I just want to, but actually, excuse me, I was at home and I was laying there on my bed and man, I just wanted to be alone, and I put on some music, and I just began to listen to some different sermons and just kind of hanging out with the Lord, and the Lord brought something to my attention through this testimony. And I said, Lord, that's the capstone of this sermon, and I want to share it with you. There's a young girl, late teens, just came to know the Lord. For those of you who are involved in church and know church history, there was something called the Jesus Movement. She got in on the tail end of that. And in the Jesus Movement, they loved to go out and evangelize and witness to everybody. And they were out and they were witnessing to these people. And there was like a group of these scholars, you know, they were out there and they would debate them and they would have fun. And all of a sudden, one of these guys that they were witnessing to, she kind of found interest in him because he was so smart and just a handsome guy, and she just kind of liked him and said, you know what, I want to see if I can date this guy. And so she went after him and pursued him, and sure enough, they started dating, and eventually he evangelized her. If you know what that means, he won. She ended up pregnant. And so here they are, you know, she's wondering what do I do? And this guy says, hey, look, you can have a fresh start. Just go abort this child. But you see, she had just gotten saved. So she knew it wasn't the right thing to do. In case you're wondering, it's still not the right thing to do. Some of us have made mistakes. And so this mom says no, and she broke off with this guy, and she says, no, I got to keep my child. And in her time, in her little time in prayer, she said, you know what? I can't raise this child up. I'm going to do something. I'm going to put it up for adoption. I can't imagine. As much as I love my children, I can't imagine doing that. Just like Moses' mom had to just let him go again. But she gave him up anyhow, and she went to this place. It was a Lutheran church that works with helping moms find a placement for their child. And as she went to this place, and she said, look, I got to give my child up. And they said, okay. And they gave the amount of time that it would take. And she tried to love on her son, and she named him Stephen. And she had him just for, I think it was 2.5 months. Or 2.5 weeks. That's all she had him for. But she loved this child. And she would pray over him and say, Stephen, may God bless you. May God keep you. And when they came to get him, they put all his paperwork in this folder and they sealed it and said, you can't see anything in their word. This child's gone. If one day he wants to find you, he can open it. But they sealed it. And before they let it go, she said, can I do something? And she took it and she wrote on there, you are legitimate. Stephen, you have destiny. You see, she hadn't been serving the Lord a long time, but she had Jesus in her. And the Jesus in her began to pen, I'll see you. May the Lord keep you while we are apart from each other until the day we're together again. May you serve him the days of your life. And she penned, may you be a psalmist. May you read his word. And just went on to all this and just read it and then gave it to the lady and walked away. Stephen obviously changed his name later because the parents changed his name. When he was 13 years old, all of a sudden in his heart, when his birthday came, they said, what do you want for your birthday? And Stephen said, all right, what is his name then? He said, I just feel like I want a Bible. 13 years old. When you're 13, I'll get you a Bible. Today, kids want a car. I want a Bible. He said, something inside of me, and he's telling us, something inside of me made me, I just felt like I needed a Bible. He said, all of a sudden, I fell in love with the Psalms. And I would sing before God. And pretty soon I began to write some lyrics down and just began to do some things. And man, I just began to sing. And all of a sudden God opened a door for me to sing. And I sang all over. And now this guy is singing all over the world. And 32 years later, this guy, Stephen, said, I want to know who my mom is. Mom, don't give up hope. 32 years later, Stephen comes and says, you know what? I'm going to go back to that agency. Went and found out where she was at. And he asked this question, is she a believer? And they said, oh, yeah, she's a believer, all right. Come to find out, not only is she a believer, she is a spirit-filled believer. And so he goes to the church where she's at, and sure enough, he finds her where they said they'd find her. She's in charge of the prayer team. You see, because mom never, don't bet against a praying mom. Amen. And out of the blue, this man comes up and says, I'm your son. I'm the one. And he showed her all the stuff that, you know, wrote all these things down. And as the tears ran down his face, he was like, I can't believe you wrote all these things down about me. You see, because I'm a psalmist now. I write songs. Most of you don't know who Stephen is, but you know who Jason Upton is. One of the greatest psalmists of our time. A man that called that he's like he's singing from the heartbeat of God. Nothing compares to a praying mother. And here he is, 32 years later, not knowing that his mom was listening to his own music. A deliverer. Some of you right now need to see where your child's at. Don't you've turned your head long enough. Oh, my boy doesn't. You know he's doing drugs. Look at him. You know what she is doing. Look at her. In your mind, look at her. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head, close your eyes. Mom, you know exactly where they're at. Or perhaps you don't know where they're at. And you're saying, man, we're in chaos. I want you to know the time of Hebrews by faith is coming. They're going to be the deliverer. But mom, you can't let go. You have to be a praying mother. You can never bet against a praying mom. And so this morning, I'm here to let hell know that you cannot bet against a praying mom. We're going to turn our face to God and we'll say, God, bring them home. And if you have a child, listen, I want you to stand, moms all across this room, that you know your child. You may not know where they're at, but you know what they're in. And we're going to believe God to bring them home. And some of you are going to need to stand. You're vacillating between the church and the world. Your children know. That is not a praying mom. A praying mom holds fast to the things of God. So I'm going to give you the count of three, and we're going to pray. And I would like for you to stand. One. Come on, mom. Two. Three. You know where they're at. You know where they're at. Just like Jochebed. Oh, God, I have no idea where he went. I just heard he's in the backside of a desert. But she put into him. And I pray right now that every word you have ever spoken about Christ that you put into their heart, they, whether it was just a song, Jesus loves me, this I know, that it would just capture their heart, get in their soul. If they're in prison, that somebody would come to them. If they're shooting up, somebody would come and minister to their heart. Church, will you believe that with them? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray. God is the Father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the promise. You said, God, that if we are saved, our household shall be saved. So right now, we join them. We join faith with these moms. We know that, God, hell cannot deal with the praying mom. So right now, we trust, and God, we will pray. We will seek your face because we know, God, you are able. So wherever they're at, God, we pray right now that you would draw them to you. God, just like you did for Jason, Lord, I pray you would just draw them. God, I pray while they're away, you'd equip, you'd strengthen. God, they would come back home as a deliverer, not addicted, not hurting, but God's ready to set people free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Listen, those of you who are sitting down, obviously you have children that are in the faith. And I pray that your heart goes out to them. Moms that are standing, look this way. God is able. God is able. Circumstances, they're not able. Time is not able. But Jesus is able. And he will bring them back. He will draw them home. never, ever, 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 never bet against a praying mother. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for who you are. We thank you for our mothers today, God. We honor them. I thank you, God, for my mom, God, a woman who serves you, calls after you. I thank you for who you are. God, bless them with a special blessing today. God, for those who have not heard from their children, let them hear.